but I'm going to tonight. But in order to, I want you to see something, first of all, about one of the kings of Israel. As you look in 2 Kings chapter 22, I'm going to read aloud. You read with me here in verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Isn't that funny? Today we can't get an 8-year-old to pick up their toys. This guy's king at age 8. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Do you know how few kings this is said about? Turned not aside, right hand or to the left. This guy was a straight shooter and a straight walker. Actually, he was one of the best kings in the country of Judah. This is after Judah and Israel had split up. The northern kingdom, 10 tribes, would be known as Israel. The southern kingdom would be known as Judah. Only 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And every, about without exception, every king in the northern kingdom in Israel, after their split, was a bad king. Every one of them. A couple of those bad kings had a little spurt of goodness once in a while. That's all it was a spurt. The only good kings that were known after the split were in the southern kingdom from Judah. And Josiah was one of the best. I'll show you that here in a moment. He was a fantastic king. He started his kingship at age 8. He ruled for 31 years. It said he followed all the precepts of David. And that says a lot about a king, that he followed after David his father, and that he turned not to the right hand nor to the left. This guy just didn't compromise any issues, nothing. He didn't turn to the right hand or the left. It was everything was black and white. Everything was straight with him. He was just an excellent king. But you know what fascinates me when you read across this passage? He died awful young. 31 and 8 is still 39, isn't it? He only lived to be 39 years old. 39 is the age I was when I had my stroke back in 1988, and I almost died. That's young. And it certainly, it would make some people wonder, so, well, if he was such a good king, why in the world didn't God let him live longer? And we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But only 39 years old.
Let's look at what else the Bible has to say about him. Look at chapter, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 23. Just one more chapter in to 23. 2 Kings 23, verse 25. That's talking about Josiah yet now. And like unto him, that's Josiah, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Man, do you have any idea what kind of resume this is? He's not just, as it said in an earlier, he's not just did that which was right and didn't turn to the right hand for the left. But God said there was no king as good as him before him, and no king after him who was as good as Josiah. You're lifting up a pretty good man. I mean, how would I like to say, here it's said by God. Now this is said by God. Remember, it's inspired by God. But mercy, how would you like God to look down and say, well, so-and-so is a such-and-such, and there was none as good as him before him, nor after him. That gives you some pretty powerful credentials. That's almost as good as the credentials of Job, where God said about Job, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him? There's none. There's not the best Christian. God told Satan, the best Christian on earth right now is Job. And it looks like, by God's description, the best king in Judah that he had was this young man named Josiah. There was no king like him before him, no king like him after him. He just was right up there with the standard of God. Fantastic man. Look at the description in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And looking at verse 1 and 2. Similar to that of 2 Kings 22, 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Almost word perfect, isn't it? Understand now, the Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, is a description or a biography or a history that was written, I believe, when they were in the Babylonian captivity, of what went on in 1 and 2 Kings. So you'll see a lot of similarities in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. It was written in Babylon after the fact. But it's almost word perfect, almost identical. So what happened to Josiah? No king as good as him before him, no king as good as him after him. What happened to him? Why did he die so young? Let's look. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Have we prayed yet? Don't believe we have. Let's pray. Lord, grant a victory and a blessing now on that which we're teaching tonight. Help us to understand. There are times when we look at some sins and shortcomings and think them to be little. But Lord, help us to understand that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And I pray certainly that you'd open up our hearts here in this lesson tonight and draw us unto heavenly places where we can learn things from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fascinating. What killed such a good king? There's only one negative thing said about him in all the Bible, and we're about to read it, and it led to his death. The only negative thing you'll ever read about King Josiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, let's begin at verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him. Who did? Necho, king of Egypt. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Keep reading. "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself." Sounds like Ahab, doesn't it? How he went into the battle. God found him anyhow. "Josiah would not turn his face from him, but he disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho," watch this now, "from the mouth of God." Don't always think that lost people don't have the right message. Necho was speaking from the mouth of God. That's what it says. "He came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.' His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah lamented," boy, the preacher, Jeremiah, "lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentations." This is fascinating to me. Only one thing negative in his whole ministry.
on record. Only one is written. What killed him? And that's what I'm teaching tonight, just simply on the subject of meddling. That's what killed him. Across his tombstone would be written, or his obituary, cause of death, meddling. That's it. And he was warned by the king of Egypt. Necho told him twice, God told me to do this thing. And Josiah wouldn't listen. That fight was not Josiah's. Josiah stuck his nose where it didn't belong. That fight, as you read the opening verse in verse 20 that we started out with, it was between Necho, king of Egypt. He came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. That was these two men's battle. It wasn't Josiah's. I don't know what got in the head of Josiah that he needed to jump in that battle. But God tried to warn him twice. And Necho said, look, this is not, God told me to make haste. God told me to come over here and give you this battle. Now, my beef is not with you, Josiah. And yours is not with me. Don't forbear to meddle with God. Don't fool with this thing. This is of God. And Josiah would not listen. But he disguised himself and went into the battle anyhow. You disguise yourself all you want to, but if you're doing what you ought not to be doing, God knows it. And God got him, and he died from it. Broke the heart of Jerusalem. The singing men and the singing women, even Jeremiah was brokenhearted over this. The prophet Jeremiah was just... Why? Because Josiah had such great reformations in his kingship. He was a wonderful man of God. Wonderful man of God. But he got to the place where he didn't understand about this business of meddling, and he stuck his nose where it didn't belong. And he got it cut off, to be quite frank with you. This business of meddling is a far more serious... See, here's what registers with me. This business of meddling is so serious that God would take the life from what he said was the best king he ever had. I didn't say Josiah was the best king. The Bible did. There's no king like him before him, and none after him. This guy fostered more reformations than any other king. Man, he cleaned up the temple. He restored the worship. He got rid of the houses of the Sodomites. All he had was wholesale revival. He was a fantastic man. And yet, as fantastic as he was, God chose to end his life prematurely, age 39. God chose to end his life because he stuck his nose where it didn't belong. He got the meddling. Let me give you another verse on this subject that would be good for you from God's Book of Wisdom. One of my favorite verses. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. There it says, he that passeth by, the leader, they still had all the pups. They had 9 pups in that litter and still had 7 of them. The other pups would not do anything unless instructed by Jake. Jake. He's intimidating. He's a leader. I said, man, I want that one. I stayed all afternoon at that house to observe those dogs. So turn loose. Let me watch them. Every pup followed that pup. They wouldn't do anything that pup didn't do. And if that pup didn't want them to do it, he let them go. I said, that's the one I want. Give me that one. He's also the biggest dog in the litter. He's going to be half again as big as Leah. He is 80 pounds. Leah will hit 90 at her peak. Jacob will be a 120-pound dog. And he's the meanest looking thing you've seen in your life. Now, I'm going to use him to illustrate when I'm preaching to churches close by down the States and put him up on the platform and just say, okay, and they're a guard dog.
They were used in World War I. Remember, I shared that with you. They were used in World War I to drag wounded soldiers off the battlefield. They got teeth on them that won't quit. And they got a pull on them that won't quit. They're powerful, though. And I'm going to put them up on the platform and say, okay, now, any of you fellas, if you've got an unbelievable amount of church problems caused by meddling, regardless of the church. Of course, some of them is doctrinal issues. I understand that. But those that are not doctrinal issues are usually meddling or have something to do with what we could call meddling.
And by the way, the title of this lesson is very simple, Josiah's Sin. That's Josiah's sin was meddling. If you can find something else negative in the Bible about Josiah, show me. I've never seen it. This is Josiah's sin for which he died. Well, what does that mean in society or life today? And let's just cover a few of those things, just talk about them a little bit. Meddling. What does it mean? All right, let's take the government, for example. I only have U.S. illustrations, but the fact of the matter is you can think of your own Canadian illustrations about nationwide meddling. One of ours over in the U.S., a place called Ruby Ridge, where some young people in a family died. And the federal agents came in there. His family was on his own property. Until you get to eternity, you're never going to understand the travesty of Ruby Ridge. That boy, his kids had guns. They're on their own property. That's his business. You know, the United States is not like Canada. You want a gun, you can have a gun. Fact is, you want to carry it. In most states, you can carry it. You can carry it live. You have a permit. You can carry it publicly. The two easiest states to do that in is Tennessee and Texas. Tennessee and Texas, if you use the gun, they don't lock you up. The judge just asks you, did he need to shoot? Yeah, he needed to shoot, Judge. Okay, case dismissed. I think there's this last thing that's been out west where they found this polygamist and broke up that community. I'm trying to think of the name of that place out there. I can't. It's out in Texas. You might have seen it on the news just past. What was it? Where?
Not Waco.
Not Waco, but Waco is one example. There was another one in this past year where the guy had, you know, X number of wives. And look, I'm against polygamy, too. I don't think it's right, and the government has nothing to do with it, I think, because the Bible says it's not right. New Testament, we're not allowed polygamy. Now, God winked at it in the Old Testament. But we're not allowed it in the New Testament. I think that's very plain in the Bible. One man, one wife. But at any rate, they broke up this thing, and he had so many wives. And I think involved were somewhere 200 or 300 children, if you've seen that on the news. But what they did is they took all the children away. They took the children away even of, you're talking about children that were little bitty babies, infants. They took those children away from the mothers. Some of the mothers, you know, because they said within this sect, within this cult, these young ladies were made to be the bride of someone, arranged marriages even in their teenage years. And no, I don't think that's right either. And neither do you. I don't think that's right. But they were not arranging marriages for any infants. You know what I'm saying? Our government came in and took those little babies away from those mothers. And those mothers even promised, said, look, we'll move, if you'll give us back our babies, we'll move away, we'll denounce this sect and this cult. Because we don't want them to be a pressure on society where they're not educated, they grow up, they can't take care of themselves, and therefore now the government, we have to feed them as a society. No. Again, the Bible, why would you have to feed them as a society when Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Our government is feeding people who can work. I mean, most of the people that they're feeding can work, but won't. So their system is anti-Bible, and I really, really believe that the responsibility given to us as parents, we take care of our kids. I like the way the Amish do. I mean, I'm not Amish, but I don't mind telling you, I like their system.
By the time, they only go to eighth grade, they have their own schools, it's only an eighth grade education. They teach them to read and write some of the basics, and then they teach them to go into whatever the family trade is. They'll teach them leather craft, or they'll teach them farming, or they'll teach them woodworking and building. They'll teach them any amount of different things. And by the time an Amish child is 18 to 20 years old, they've got enough money socked away to build their own house.
Our government has a problem of meddling on both sides of the borders. You could use all kinds of instances that you could think of where the Canadian government really is meddling in some areas where, because I can think of all kinds of them where the U.S. government is meddling, where they're, here's one that's not very popular. I think when Big Brother tells me that I must buckle my seatbelt, they're meddling. What's the next step? Tell me I can't eat at McDonald's because saturated fat?
You know, it's for your own good. You get a car accident, you're going to get killed.
That's my bad. If I don't want to buckle up, who am I hurting but Bob Creel? Now, if you want to come to me and tell me my tires are bald, I must change them, I agree with you, because if my tire blows on the highway and I cross the center line, I'm going to kill somebody else, not just myself. There's a lot of this stuff where I think the government has just overstepped their bounds. Who was that? Where I was just with Jamie Grooms over there, and you know how big his little fella is, and I look back and he's in a car seat. I said, what's he doing? I said, it's up to, he said, 95 pounds? Do you know how big a kid is when they get, if they're not a certain height, it has to be a certain weight. Josiah's not very big. Here he is sitting back there in a car seat. I said, man, that kid's almost big enough to carry me. And by law, he has to be in a car seat. I just sit back, scratch my head, and said, well, I don't know how I made it. I grew up, they didn't even have any car seats. Fact is, they didn't have any seat belts. Big Brother hadn't got into this business yet. Meddling. Gotten into the business of meddling.
How about that also at work? Don't you just love to work with someone who always sticks their nose where it don't belong?
Don't you just love it? You know, you're in a kind of shop where people get raises and make their money by merit, and somebody always will come up and say, hey, what are you making now? What are they paying you? Hey, ain't none of your business. Did they ask you to work overtime this weekend? What did they ask you?
No.
And don't worry about it. You know how much I worked in the workforce for years, like 13 years before I got out full-time Christian ministry. And man, the workplace is full of meddling.
Your way.
Leave me alone. You know, they're happy with my work here.
Well, I just wouldn't put the paper between the glass that way.
Big deal. Gets there, don't it?
Yeah.
But the workplace. Here's a sore subject. If people are not real careful, parents have this problem after their children get married.
Ouch. I had a hillbilly mother-in-law in my first marriage from South Kentucky, Frances Dobbs.
You know, when I was a booger man married to her daughter and laying out drinking before I got saved, the first 7 years of paganized marriage, I wasn't saved. And I just put her through a little hell. I mean, I was a booger man. I was a drinker, a brawler, and about half a dozen other things. But that didn't seem to bother Frances, my mother-in-law, her mother. It didn't seem to bother Frances too bad, because, of course, her boys were there, all of Peg's brothers. So all of
them. You'll warp those children psychic!
I go, what? I tell them the truth? I said, Frances, I got saved. I'm not lying to my kids anymore. I'm not lying to them about nothing. I won't do it.
You've taken Christmas away from them!
No, no. I handed them Christmas in the true meaning of it. I didn't take it away from them. I took the world's Christmas away from them, and I gave them God's Christmas. I told them what it was really all about. And who bought the presents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I explained to them Santa Claus was like Bozo the Clown. He's a funny fat man, dresses up, make everybody laugh and have a good time. He got nothing to do with Jesus, really. Nothing. It's a farce. It's a commercial farce. Man, my mother-in-law, God bless her. You would think that I set the bride to enter from the... No, he left the bride. Shut up! Hold the phone! Bride and groom, where do you want her to enter from? I really don't care where the rest of you want her to enter from. Honestly, if you don't straighten that out before a wedding rehearsal, it's chaos. My wedding rehearsals were going 3 and 4 hours. I streamlined them by making it clear ahead of time that the mother-in-laws, selves. You want to discuss it with them ahead of time, you're welcome to. When you get to the rehearsal, I want you to decide ahead of time, and I'd sit and go through it with the bride and groom in my office. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Is that the way you want it done? I said, okay, that's fine. That's it. I don't want to hear from either one of your mothers come Saturday. I don't want to hear from them. That's the way we're doing it. Because you know we're well-meaning parents. We really are. But if we're not careful, we'll try to run our children's lives after they grow up. And if we're not careful, we'll try to run our children's homes when they grow up. You have your chance. And if they want your counsel, they'll come to you.
If you're the kind of parent, have always been the kind of parent you should be.
They want your counsel to ask for it. But if they don't ask for it, be very careful about that. Sometimes some of the worst meddling I've seen in Christian circles since I've been saved have been parents trying.
I try to, you know, like say it's your daughter. I know, we're especially sensitive about our daughters. So you step in and say, well, he should be something. No, you let that son-in-law take care of it. You gave them your consent. She's married to him now. She now takes orders off him, not dad anymore. I knew a young Christian. He's going to be, he was surrendered to preach. He was an assistant pastor. He had his Bible college education. He got in his first marriage. And he messed up in an area. He messed up. His wife's, and this is one of the personal cases that just broke my heart. He messed up in something he should have been in. He got it right. He asked his wife. It happened to be some stuff on the internet. Man, I can't overemphasize, fellas, you get on the internet, be careful with that. You ladies do. That internet can be a demon that wrecks your life. Be very careful about that. But anyway.
I've got 4 children. I've got to be careful I keep my nose out of their house. It grieves me that my son didn't choose to put his kids in Christian school this past year. But I told him what I feel about it. I asked him what he was going to do and et cetera, et cetera. What have you decided? And he told me what he decided. And I left it then. I told him what I felt, what I thought, what I was praying about. And then I just left. He decided to put him in public school. I don't like that. But I don't have to face God over that. He does. If it's wrong, that's his bad. That's not mine. That's his. It has not hurt he and I's relationship, and I'm not going to let it hurt our relationship. Because if I insist on it, I'm meddling. And I got to be careful. So do you. And then lastly, meddling, for example, in the church. Well-meaning Christians. You get to meddling in the church. You know, one of the biggest problems I came across when I was pastoring the 2 churches was people trying to help other people raise their children around the church.
Always said, you know, usually someone who never had kids and had such great advice tells somebody else how to raise their kids. It's like going to a priest and getting marriage counseling. For what?
They never lived. What's supposed to be? He's never been married.
Why would I go to him for marriage counseling? And one of the difficulties that I had around the church was a lot of times, kids will be kids. They just will. Well, they
go with
by, who he that passeth by, and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Josiah died from it. That's what the end results of meddling can be. But at the very least, you can get hurt bad by it. Meddling. Josiah's sin. Let's stop there.
Well, there's a single subject. Nobody would ever dream the damage of this thing called meddling until they study the life of Josiah. Boy, when you look at him, you've got to scratch your head and say, hey, if he'll take down a 39-year-old king who the Bible says nothing, that's the only thing negative that it says about him. He's a great man of God. God said so. None like him before or after it. And if meddling can do this to him, what can it do to me? What might it do? All right.
Well, we're going to break up for prayer.